I was running late this morning a little bit, and driving here, I was a little bit nervous, and nervous that I wouldn't make it on time for Mass. And let me say it this way: I was not going less than the speed limit driving here. And I got to Chase. I said the highway, and I got to Chase, and I made it was all green lights except Avocado, which there's a law that says you have to stop there. And then I got to church finally, and I was still really late. I was kind of still in a rush. I had to park, and it was somebody in front of me. You're here somewhere. Stopped. There's just a long line of cars behind this person. I'm not going to say what kind of car it was. It was very expensive. And stopped. And I said, okay, it's Easter, I was trying to be patient and nice. Okay, maybe there's somebody who's, you know, handicapped, they have a, you know, a wheelchair or a walker. Nope, perfectly healthy people got out. And then I like to park on this side. The very last spot, on this side, it's near the church, the person right in front of me got. And so So I was in a rush. I was panicked just to get here on time. And then I finally got here. I put this thing on. And I was just kind of waiting in the sacristy until Mass started. And then Father Simon called me to make sure that I was here because they were in the back. And okay, I said, fine. So everything this morning was really rushed. And when you're in a rush like that, you don't really have time to savor the moment. You know? Prayer is, it's hard. It's not impossible, but it's more difficult to be in contact with the restfulness that you need in your heart in order to really sort of have a sense that God is near you. You know, you're not thinking about that. You're not thinking about God. You're not aware when you're in a hurry. But the problem is there's no escaping that. You can't not be in a hurry your entire life. I mean, if that's the case, all you're going to do is cause other people to be more in a hurry. You're just going to slow down. The world sort of lives at a very, very fast pace, at least our world today. So imagine that mood, the mood of, I have to be somewhere right now. That mood of being in a panicked rush, in a kind of breathless run. That's where Peter and John were in the gospel today, for that part of the gospel. They were sitting around. They had nothing to do. They were just kind of waiting. They didn't know what was happening after Jesus had been crucified and buried. And suddenly Mary Magdalene shows up and says, I don't know what's happened to Christ's body. She didn't know. Nobody knew yet that Christ had risen. Nobody had seen him yet, risen. But she knew that the tomb was empty. So she rushed back to where Peter and John were, to where the disciples were. She says, I don't know where they put him. So in a panic, they run. It says they ran to the tomb. That moment is really worth thinking about. That run from the upper room to the tomb. We spend a lot of our life that way. And it's not just because, I don't know, we're late for work or we're late for school or we're late for church. During that run, what was happening? They were full of doubt. They didn't know what was happening. They were full of ignorance. They were lacking. They were just missing what was actually happening. That's what happens in this life. We're rushed, but we're also nervous and sad. We don't understand what's going on. We're confused. And we're looking, we're seeking God. Whether we know it or not, we're seeking God. And that's one of the reasons why we're running so much. And yet when they got there, they didn't find him. He wasn't there. So what I want to do is compare that journey with with another one that happens the exact same day, actually, but in the Gospel of Luke, in another Gospel, and slightly later in the day. On the day of the resurrection, two journeys happen that are similar in some ways, but different in other ways. There were two disciples not running, but walking. And there's a difference here. And they weren't walking to the tomb. They were walking to a village called Emmaus, 7 miles or so outside of Jerusalem. Difference here is serious. There's a real difference here. Because as they were walking, Christ was walking with them. And they didn't understand that it was him. The risen Christ was walking with them. I want to compare these two types of journey. Because we experience both in our life, and both are actually very important for us to arrive at God's life, which is our ultimate goal. So look what was happening. Peter and John running to the tomb. Anxiety. Doubt. Being rushed. Not knowing what's going on. Sadness. All those are the same on Emmaus. They were in doubt. The people, the two disciples that were walking to Emmaus also didn't know what happened. They heard a rumor about what Mary Magdalene said, but they still hadn't experienced Christ themselves. And they were sad, and they were moving, but they weren't running. They were in no rush. That's an important difference. Just that pace, that restfulness, as they were journeying, allowed the possibility for Christ to walk with them, though they didn't perceive him immediately. So what am I saying right now? I'm saying whenever you have the chance, and I know, as this morning indicated, I know you don't always have the chance, but when you do have the chance, slow down. And it's sad that that has to be said, because that's sort of supposed to happen by nature. But we lose that when we're so busy. And a lot of times it's just kind of circumstance and life that forces us to forget about slowing down. Other times, it's our fault. And I'll just say it plainly, we just love money so much that we don't bother to slow down. Because we care more about money than walking once in a while instead of running. And I gotta tell you guys, that's gonna destroy you. That love of money will destroy you. Slow down, whatever you can. Both of those journeys though, the journey to the tomb and the journey to Emmaus, one of the things they had in common is that neither of them were journeys where somebody traveled by themselves. To the tomb, it was Peter and John. To Emmaus, it was Cleopas and an unnamed disciple. You're not by yourself. You're not alone. Don't forget that. And don't forget that in the sense that don't let yourself feel isolated. Don't let yourself think that you have to do this all by yourself and you have nobody to help you. You have your church to help you. You have your family, your friends to help you. But also, don't forget that you're alone in the sense that don't forget that what you do hurts and affects others. What you do that's negative and that's harmful, you're not the only one that's going to lose. The people that are walking with you are going to be hurt when you fail to do what's right. And the people that are with you are going to be helped when you do what's right. But unlike the run to the tomb, the walk to Emmaus, it wasn't just two disciples. Christ was also walking with them. But the end of the journey was also different. When they got to the tomb, something very interesting happened. So Peter and John get to the tomb. And they were running there. You just imagine these two men, they're just exhausted. John, was younger. He got there first. He probably wasn't like wheezing as hard as Peter. He waited, he sort of looked in, but out of respect for not just his elder, but the head of the disciples, Peter, He waited. He didn't go inside. He knew that something special was happening here. He let Peter go in first. Peter went in, looked around, saw the cloths, didn't quite get it. Didn't quite click with Peter. John went in afterwards, and it says he saw and believed. I want to just pause for a second there. He saw and believed. What did he see? There's really only one possibility. What was there in the tomb to see? There was just rock walls. Except, also there were the burial cloths. And that's what John must have seen, and that's what must have clicked for him. We have to kind of pay attention to that. These are witnesses. One of our hymns in the county insurance says, these cloths are witnesses. What do they tell us? Big deal. Burial cloths. Well, if you're going to come up with some weird scheme to steal a corpse, which is what the Pharisees accused the disciples of, the last thing you're going to do when there's guards around and everyone's kind of, there's this conspiracy that they're worried about it, the last thing you're going to do is unwrap the body that you're trying to steal. Take the time to do that. And take the, there's a long piece of cloth that they would use to, in the ancient world, to wrap around the head of the dead body in order to keep the jaw shut, in order to keep the eyes closed. If you're stealing a body, you're not going to stop. Take the cloth off the body, unwrap that thing around the head, fold it up, and put it down, and then rush away from the guards. It doesn't make any sense. It's weird. John saw that. That's part one that clicked. But he also intuited. He also understood. That's what happens when you're not in a rush. That's what you do. That's what Christ did. When he rose from the dead, and there's no more reason to run anymore, because he has defeated everything. He's defeated death. There's nothing that can make Christ run at this point. So if you're in no hurry, yeah, take off that face, that napkin around your head. Take your time, yeah, fold it up, even fold it. That's how not in a hurry Christ was. That's how victorious he was. I like to call Jesus folding the napkin his victory cigar. That's his trophy. Yeah, he won. And I think John intuited that. He understood that at a glance. And he saw it and believed. So the end of that journey. So yeah, you're in a rush, but you're still going somewhere. At the end of that journey, what do you get? What's the goal there? The goal there is faith. And that's awesome. I'm saying even if you're in a rush, you can get something good out of that. Even if you're in full of doubt and full of nervousness and full of like sadness, something is there at the end of that journey, and that's faith. If you have the openness of heart and mind to understand it. What happens at the end of the journey to Emmaus? Well, the two disciples invite this stranger that was walking with them to come in. And he sits with them, and it says that he took, blessed, and broke bread and gave it to them. And it says their eyes were open. What do you get during your Sabbath journey? What do you get on Sunday, the day of rest, as you come to church, hopefully not in the rush that I was this morning? What do you get at the end of your journey where you walk from where you're sitting up to the altar, which represents Christ's tomb, but to receive Christ's living body? What you get is Jesus himself. Not just an intellectual faith and intellectual understanding. You get Jesus living within you, walking with you. That's why we do this every Sunday. Not just Christmas and Easter. Because he walks with us at every step. And so on Sunday, rest, but rest means let Christ walk with you, and you walk at his pace. And his pace is victorious. He's not in a rush anymore. not just getting to where you're going. It's the journey as well. And during this journey, the destination is there with us. And heaven comes down to earth. So experience that and understand that as you receive Christ's body today. Rest for a moment and thank him.